So some of you know that I've had the very good fortune to go a couple of times to Romania in the last couple of years to speak at a conference at the Parliament held on religious freedom. And as you can imagine, in many parts of the world, religious freedom is not nearly as taken for granted as it is here. And so it's been a great opportunity to hear other stories, to be a part of that conversation internationally, and to travel to what turns out to be a very beautiful country. So here is the country of Romania, and I've given you a little bit of a chart. Bucharest, down in the lower right-hand side, is where we started. The red lines are the areas that we visited, so not so far as a field in the north part. But just take a quick look, you'll see Yugoslavia, Hungary, Ukraine, Moldavia, more of the Ukraine, and the Black Sea. So this is about as east as you get in Eastern Europe, and you're surrounded by former Soviet countries, as was Romania itself, and we'll see the marks of that as we go along. So this is my new car, which was at the hotel waiting for me. It's a BMW model I've never seen before, and I was really thrilled to get that. And there's just the sun. So this is an old church, goes back to 1715 in Bucharest. It's called Antim Monastery Church, and as all of the Orthodox churches, it's a beautiful piece of architecture. You've also had some lovely iconography, mosaics here, a couple from the other side. And then inside, you can see it's very ornate and beautiful. This one with the light coming through, they were working on the carpet, but you've also got light blaring through the windows, which gave it kind of a nice feel. This is another church called the St. Anthony Church, also in Bucharest. And one of the interesting things that you're seeing is that during World War II, Bucharest was one of the few cities in Europe that was not pretty badly destroyed. As we'll see, when the communists came, they took care of that for the most part. They tore down a whole lot of the old city. But these churches that we've just looked at do remain. This is just an alpine horn, a Romanian alpine horn. I took that picture because it's a common horn that you see not only through the highlands, but it's also very similar to the horn blown in certain Jewish festivals. And so it kind of shows that the way in which culture has mixed in that whole part of the world. This is a really interesting picture. This is the former Securitate building. Now, Securitate, under the communists, they were the people who were pretty much like the stormtroopers of the SS. And during the revolution, in the late 80s, the revolutionaries destroyed the building, or mostly destroyed it, and as a kind of a monument to that having overturned the Securitate and the rest of the communist regime, and also as a reminder of from where they had come, they just kind of built a modern building on top of the ruins of the Securitate building. I thought it was a very interesting way to deal with one's complicated past. This is a picture inside the Athenaeum in, again, in Bucharest, and it's really some of the most beautiful architecture. I don't know how far this goes back, but you can get a sense of the kind of beauty of the interior. This is the main foyer. This is a ceiling in the area where a theater would be happening in the auditorium. And then this is the one in the foyer, but I was just struck by the incredible beauty of these domes. This is the palace, or the parliament building, lit up at night. The parliament was built in the late 80s by Ceausescu, who was the head of the government at that time, communist. It was built to be larger than any building, any public building, except for the Pentagon. It was built at an unbelievable expense. It's hard to even get a sense of the scale of the building at a time and in a country that was extraordinarily poor. So just, you'll get some pictures of, here in a minute, of some of the interior, the enormous resources that were used for this building. And as we'll see also, the megalomaniac part of him not only built this huge, huge building, but also built roadways and other buildings that spread out in four directions from the palace to show, you know, his great expanse of domain, tearing down huge portions of historic Bucharest. This is last year. This is in the Parliament building where I'm getting ready to give my paper. You'll see that in the back there, there's little booth-looking things, and those are all filled with translators. So on our microphone, we could select that fed our earphones, we could select what we could hear and what we could, and then they would translate to people who could hear it then in their own language, sort of a modern-day Pentecost. This is the Minister of Education. Next to him, one of the other ministers to his left, and this was what was so surprising to me in both of these visits. I mean, we were working with the Prime Minister, the Minister of Education, the Minister of Security, the Secretary of State. It was really a very interesting group of people, and a lot of them, like this guy who Costoyo, who is among a young group in their 40s of politicians who are really dedicated to bringing the country into the EU and into the mainstream of the of Europe. This is this year. Again, my beautiful face there waiting to give a paper again. This was an Italian opera star. I don't remember her name, but she was fantastic, who came and actually sang during the Parliament meeting at one of the breaks. This is one of the senators who's currently in the government. And this is the main staircase. You don't really get a sense of its expanse, but it's unbelievable how large all of this is. In fact, most of the carpets in this building had to be woven in situ in the room, because they were just too big to weave them anywhere else and then carry them. They wouldn't have stood up to transportation. Just amazing. This is the Senate chambers. Again, really just, you can get a glimpse of the kind of design and the architecture that's very intricate and beautiful. And this, again, just so you can see the marble that was brought into this building, room upon room of it. It's just amazing. This big room, and it's much bigger than what I show there. This is where Nadia Comăneci, do you all remember Nadia Comăneci? Some of you are too young to remember. She was a young gymnast, I think 14, from Romania, who was the first to ever score perfect 10s in the Olympics. And this is the room where her wedding took place, and the reception. Again, just to give you a sense of the kind of ornateness. This is from the porch where Ceaușescu would speak to the people. And you can see that roadway going straight away. As far as you can see, that was torn down from the old city to make that roadway and those buildings that you can see along it and to your left and right. The same thing in all four directions. That's an incredible misuse of funds and loss of beautiful architecture. So, from Bucharest, now we're going up to Pitești. At Pitești, I've met here at one of the colleges, and What I found out about this tour the first time I went was that I had no idea what I was in for. That I would end up in a town like this, we'd go to a university, and then I would be sat down and I would be asked every kind of question. This was a religious college, so I was asked all about how I stood on baptism, how I stood on the doctrine of God, and I kept wondering if I was going to get out of the building without being jailed somewhere for giving the wrong answer. From Potash, we go up to Brasov, and Brasov is the one you've all been waiting for. This is not Brasov. This is on the way, but you will see what I mean in a minute. This is an old coal plant from the Soviet era, and it kind of gives you a sense. This is just along the road, right in a residential area, the kind of lack of consideration that was given for the livability of the people. They just plopped an ugly coal plant right in the middle of it, and it itself is just, you know, industrial concrete. It's just and next to it you have, you know, lovely old houses. So to get to Brasov, which is just into Transylvania, we have to go up through the Carpathian Mountains. And so this is just at the foot of the pass. So we're up into the foothills a little bit, looking out over the valleys, a really lovely place. And you can see it's kind of a misty day, but it was just a beautiful countryside. And this is at the same place, looking in the other direction, an old mausoleum that was also used as a place for tariffing when people were going through the pass. There were only a couple of passes through the Carpathians, so you had to stop and pay your way through to go from one to the other. This is a kind of architecture you see in Moldavia a lot, and they just have it on the grounds of Bran Castle, which we're going to see now, I think. Bran Castle is the castle of Dracula fame. Right? Now, it turns out that, like all good stories, it's more legend than truth. The Dracula was not based on this. We think it was another place that the author wrote about. But this castle has become known as Dracula's Castle, and so it's turned into a tourist place. Has all kinds of really interesting artifacts in it. Lovely, again, woodworkers. You can see the kind of artistic and craft cabinet making that and all kinds of other art in Romania is just extraordinary. Again, we're in the castle. You can get a sense of the kind of old architecture there. And looking out over the village on this lovely misty day, there am I standing under Vlad the Impaler. Vlad is the one on whom, presumably, the story of Dracula was based. I don't think he actually drank other people's blood, but he impaled many, so he was certainly a fearsome kind of guy. And so they thought it was a good idea for me to have my picture taken with him. Again, out over the valley. You see a number of these. So most of the homes in Romania and larger buildings, too, are heated by wood. But they have these incredible ceramic stoves that some of them hand-built, probably all of them hand-built, but some of them homemade, some of them more exotic than that. And there are a few examples in the castle of that. But they're just gorgeous kinds of things. And they're great big masses of ceramic, so they become heat sinks, and they run a small fire, and the whole thing kind of becomes a radiator. Another one there, and you can see the wood underneath. Now we're into the legendary stuff. This is, you can see some of the spikes that someone would be sat in this seat and then tortured by Vlad the Impaler or Dracula or whoever. You can see it's not a very nice thing. Or you might be enclosed in this place, which I also think has some spikes in it. Or you might be dunked in the well. And if you were a suspected witch, You would be placed on this to be weighed against the other side. Now, the way this worked was, you can see the seat where the suspected witch was placed. The scale would be in balance. The witch would be placed on the seat. And if the seat rose, she would be a witch, because she would be lighter than air. So I think this one, unlike our own story up in Salem, probably had fewer victims than the and then that's another view of the castle from the outside. This is one of those homemade stoves from a family that lives in Brasov, who is a farm family that sells to one of the people I met there, who runs a Whole Foods business throughout all of Romania. And some of the people in the back to my left are the farm family, and then the others are people that I traveled with, and one of whom lives here in the U.S. So from Brasov, we head down to Velcha, and in Velcha, they had a pretty much full-length concert in my honor there, and then had a big television show and showed it all over television for the whole week. So if you ever want to feel honored, just tell them that you're from America and you'll get well treated. This little girl here, Bryce, you'll appreciate this, that she had a solo piece in one of the Hungarian dances and did just a lovely piece. I think she was in probably a little older than yours, but still quite young. They had symphony pieces, or at least a small symphony. They had some solos. This young girl here, her dad had recently died, and they had moved her to this area because they have these high schools that are really art schools, and this is what we were seeing. So most of these students were studying music or some other forms of art as a big part of their high school. And she's using a borrowed violin because she had no funds, and the violin, I think, is too large for her. And so we worked to get her a new violin, which isn't new. It's made in, like, I think, 1853. And so this year, she was showing it off and playing it at the Parliament for us. So that was really, really nice. Her name is Anna Donna Juliana, which she doesn't like the last part because it sounds too sing-songy. And then this is a choral piece at the same thing. This is a really interesting story. This is the inspector for education. This has so much flavor of the old communist regime. So the minister of education, whom you met there before, calls up, or has this guy called, and said, "The guy from Harvard is coming up for this thing. You have to be there." Except that the minister of education secretary got the name wrong. There are two folks. One was the secretary of state with almost identically the last name, who was called first, and she was told that she had to be there. She had no idea why the Minister of Education was commanding her to be there, but she was there. And so we had these two people with identical names, one of whom really didn't have any business being there. But I get such, it's so interesting, you know, no questions asked. You're told by the minister to do this, even if it's from a different department, you do it. And then it went to a kindergarten, which was fabulous. They did several songs in English, and the inspector said, "They do know Romanian, don't they?" But I love this little guy. He just—he was too wiggly to sit, but he did a great job. This is a guy that I went with. He's from Romania. He was there during the communist regime. He left a little over 20 years ago. After his father was actually murdered by the communists. His mother still lives there. This is in his mother's house. And his brother carved that crucifix, which is very typical of kind of Romanian religious art. They're really beautifully done. That's his mother with her butter churn. She lives in the same house that they grew up in. And they had a little bed that most of us would think of as a couch. And four of the kids would sleep in that bed, all sleeping sideways, so the legs are going off the end. I mean, to give you a sense of how poor it was. They had a fairly sizable farm, but when communism came in, they took the farm away and gave them just the house and like a same kind of size lot I have in Cambridge, you know, just barely enough to have a few chickens. This is another one of those homemade stoves that fellow's father made that many years ago. And it, you can see the homemade ones are really quite rough, but they do the job. And this is a hand spinning thing that she spun all the yarn for the clothes for the family forever. That's the same actual one that they had when the when Marion, who was the guy you saw, was a kid. The jacket she's wearing was spun, or the wool for that was spun with that machine. So. And then this is in a Seventh-day Adventist church that also grilled me to pieces, but they did sing for me. And you can, anybody give a crack at translating the Romanian? Huh? God is in this place, right? And this poor woman was told 10 minutes before we went on, she was the translator. And then when she found out that I was from Harvard, she nearly fell over. And then she was told that I was a dean and she could barely talk. But she did a great job, and she was really, and I just told her, talk to my people in my church. You'll know I'm not very scary. And this is just a piece of the kind of old architecture out there. This is the woman who lives in that little hovel, her son, Marion, and his sister. And then music is a part of, it seems like, all the families. This was a gathering that we had toward the end of our time there. And before we left the house, we sang songs. As you can see, they had me running the camera rather than singing, but it was really, it was touching how much music is a part of everybody's lives. This is, this last time there I received an honorary doctorate at the Dimitri Cantemir University in Bucharest, and this is from that ceremony. The guy to the far right is the Prime Minister of Romania. The woman on my left is the President of the college. And the one on the right, my right, is also head of the Senate or something. This is outside of the Patriarch's place in Bucharest. Now, the Patriarch is the head of the church under his jurisdiction in Bucharest. He's known as, I don't know if this comports with other Orthodox brites, but he is known as His Beatitude. Is that common? No? I just thought it's a great name, His Beatitude. Well, he was in a lot of hot water when I was over there because they had a fire, not unlike the fire we had in the Rhode Island. In that, remember in the nightclub, they had one there, and the Orthodox Church didn't really say much early on, and so when the news people were trying to get me to talk about it, they said, His Beatitude, with more than a little cynicism. And there he is. We had a wonderful meeting with him for well over an hour, which was just sort of amazing. And that's the end.